Well, thank you very much for coming tonight, Brother Breedlove. Thank you for hosting a regional Old Paths conference. If our conference is new to you, its purpose is that we would promote the old-time religion and then some practical things about building our New Testament churches, and that's God's tool, and that's what God wanted us to do. I'm glad you're here tonight. Brother Domley and I enjoy coming to churches such as this, and to all of you that are here, pastors that came. I know it takes a lot of energy and effort to come to a meeting like this, and Brother Breedlove, you're a very, very kind host. The best restaurant on the face of the earth is a place called Five Guys. They make hamburgers. And God put one in just up the road from my hotel, especially for me. So if you see me at night walking down the road, you know I'm going down to get a hamburger. I'm glad you're here. Let me do this real quickly. Back on my table, there are all sorts of things. Preaching CD albums, and there are MP3s, a couple of new books back there. Just all sorts of things. Now, when you go to the table, you'll see price tags on the items. You may ignore the price tags. Anything on the table you may get for a $10 bill, $10 each, and that's about 50 to 60% off the regular price. So if you come back there, we'll try to help you. Now, I know my part. I need to kind of get my preaching done and get out of the road so Brother Domley can come up here tonight. I want you to give me your attention in a special way. Let's do this. Brother Breedlove already spoke to us about making sure our cell phones were off, and that's only appropriate. Secondly, let's only get up and leave the service if it's an emergency. It's almost like in America, we've developed an attitude that we're going down to the theater, and every once in a while we need to step out and get a bowl of popcorn and a soda, and we're in church. So I want you to sit still. Let us preach to you for a little while. You'll be okay. There won't be any commercials, no station breaks. Your remote control won't turn me down or turn me off. Just try to do your best with your attention deficit disorder to sit there and be still just long enough to get us through this sitcom. Now, take your Bible and turn to the book of Revelation. Brother Watkins, that's the very last book of the New Testament. You just go to the last page in your Bible and just start turning backwards. Revelation chapter 2. What are you laughing at? Brother Marsh, your Bible probably doesn't even have the book of Revelation in it. Revelation chapter number 2. Revelation chapter 2. And we're all proud of you. Remember what I promised you. You come by my table afterwards and I'm going to give you a star. We're going to stick it on your forehead because there's plenty of room up there. Brother Watkins, you got to learn something. I have the microphone. You don't. I have the brain. Okay, turn. Revelation chapter 2, the Bible says this, verse number 7. It says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 11. It says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Revelation chapter 2, verse number 17. It says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Revelation chapter 2, verse number 29. It says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Revelation chapter 3, verse number 6, it says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Look at Revelation chapter 3, verse number 13. It says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Look at Revelation chapter 3, verse number 22. The Bible says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." If God says something one time in the Scripture, you better listen to it. Better give your attention to it. And if He says something one time, you can go to the bank on whatever He said. It's a sure thing. But just wonder if God chose to say the same thing in an identical way twice. I would guess then that God is putting double emphasis on something. But wonder if God thought something was important enough that he would repeat it identically three times. Oh my, triple emphasis on the need. But wait a minute. Wonder if God would choose in the scripture to say the identical thing in an identical book. Wonder if he did it four times. I would guess you and I ought to set up and give very, very strong attention to whatever God wants us to hear. But wait. Wonder if God said it five times. Wait. Wonder if God said the same thing in an identical way six times in two chapters of Scripture. I'm going to guess that God is telling us to wake up to something. I'm going to guess that God's making an issue of something. You look throughout the Bible and tell me how many times you'll see God say the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over. But wait a minute. Seven times? Seven times God saying the very same thing, same words. I guess God's trying to drive something home to us. I guess God is trying to get our attention. Especially may I point out to you that the book of Revelation tending to teach us of the things of the last days. And I'll promise you something. In these days, God needs people to set up and to listen to what's going on in regard to the Bible. The Bible teaches in the last days men's hearts will be failing them, and in the last days men won't listen to the preaching of the gospel. And I can tell you something, I've been preaching for over 30 years, and it's getting harder and harder to get people to pay attention to what's going on and to get people to pay attention to the preaching of the Word of God. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Throughout history, people have needed things or devices to aid their ability to hear. There's an old-fashioned device called a hearing horn. A hearing horn. You might have seen one in an encyclopedia or some history book. It looked like a funnel. Little part that would go into your ear and a bell out to where people would talk, and sound would enter the large part of that funnel, and it would channel the sound down into the ear. How many of you ever seen a picture of the old-fashioned hearing horn? It was a device that would help to pick up sound. What was the purpose? Well, so you could hear. Tonight, I speak to you, and I use the PA system. Its purpose is to amplify my voice so you can hear. There's a man in history. His name is George Whitefield. George Whitefield was known as the man with the golden voice. He had a powerful voice. He had a bombastic voice. He had a strong voice. It is said that George Whitefield could preach to 20,000 people outdoors using no public address system, and he could be heard. That's incredible. But there was technique to this ability. He would always make sure that he was above the crowd. Why? Gravity would pull the sound to the ground, and being above the crowd would help to catapult his voice. Whitefield would always make sure that the wind was blowing into his back. That way, the sound of his voice would be carried by the wind. He would try to make sure that if he was outdoors, that to the right and to the left of him, maybe a cluster of trees or a hill, that would make an actual funnel to keep the sound inside. To the back, always maybe a mountain or some trees once again, almost making his own little auditorium out of that which nature would provide. And what was he doing? He wanted to make sure that his voice could be heard. You have a car with a stereo in it. It has in it a speakers and volume control. At my church, we have a deaf ministry. There are people there that some that are hard of hearing, and they have hearing aids, and they can turn them up so that the sound of the voice of the speaker is amplified into their mind and into their ears. You know, a person who's not hearing properly, obviously their problem is with their hearing. Now, the problem is not with the sound. The problem is not with the speaker. The problem is with the hearing. There's a problem with the ears. If you can't hear, if you're deaf, I could be speaking very clearly and loudly, and the problem is not my voice. The problem is with your hearing. It's not with what's being spoken. It is what is not being heard. Now, if I may say, there's been a lot of emphasis placed upon preachers and their voices. Preachers and their preaching. And in a special way, there is an emphasis placed upon preachers preaching with the power of God on their lives. And rightfully so. I agree. I think a preacher ought to stand in a pulpit preaching in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Many sermons have been preached about preachers preaching in the power of God. Many sermons have been preached and lessons have been taught about a speaker speaking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And a good preacher is constantly begging God for power in the pulpit as he speaks. There are books that have been written about a preacher preaching in the power of the Holy Spirit. Periodicals have been drafted about a preacher preaching in the power of the Holy Spirit. Classes in our Bible colleges are taught about preachers and teachers preaching and teaching in the fullness of God's power. Did you know churches expect the preacher to have God's power upon him? Preachers expect it. They want their preacher to preach in the power of the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you something. Let me ask you something. Is it possible that the preacher could have God's power on his speaking, but that the listener's ears are not working properly? That must be possible, because God said in Revelation, seven verses, we read the words ear or hear. 14 times those words in combination are used. Very obvious that God was awful concerned that your ears and your listening is functioning properly while the preacher is preaching. Please notice that God here has put an emphasis on the hearer. The hearer should be hearing in the Spirit as the preacher preaches in the Spirit. Hey, did you know that many a pew setter requires the man of God to do his half of the work, and that is standing here preaching in the Holy Spirit of God? But many a pew setter, they do not do their half of the work. You say, their half of the work. What is that, Brother Owens? You are to listen in the power of the Holy Spirit of God while the preacher preaches in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Let me tell you something. You go out and you're out in the world all day long, out at work doing what you do, listening to the radio, reading all sorts of things. Hey, all influenced by the world. And many a person walks into the church house. They've been walking in the flesh all day long. They walk in the church house. They plunk it down in the pew and they say, okay, preacher, come on, move me. Keep my attention. Let's see what you can do with a carnal, world-influenced, dried-up Christian. Well, let me explain something to you. It is the responsibility of the preacher in the pulpit to preach in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. But may I say to those of you that sit in the pew, you are equally responsible that you have your ears in submission and subjection to the Holy Spirit of God while He preaches. You are to listen in the Spirit while He preaches in the Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is like a hearing aid for the saved. The hearing aid of the Holy Spirit increases the volume of God speaking to your heart. The Holy Spirit purifies the clarity of God's voice as God is speaking to you. And folks, let me tell you, today you have all sorts of people that come to church. They expect that the person singing be filled with the Spirit of God. They expect that the person preaching be filled with the Spirit of God. But just so you understand something, you are to be listening in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. That is your responsibility. Preachers, I travel the country today, and I will promise you, preachers are wore out. Preachers are tired. Preachers are out of energy, and I will tell you why. Everybody walks in the church and expects the man of God to have the power of God, but they come in as empty as they can, as an individual Christian, and that makes the preacher have to do his half of the work, and then the preacher tries to make up for you not doing your half of the work, which is you are to listen in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm telling you today, it's amazing. You almost have to do a puppet show and do cartwheels in the pulpit to keep people's attention. And I'll tell you why. It is not the absence of old Holy Ghost kind of preaching. It's the absence of old Holy Ghost kind of listening. People used to come into church and realize they're to be a good Christian too. They're to come in submissive to the Holy Spirit and sit down with their ears ready and their minds hungry like a dry sponge ready to soak up the preaching of the water of the Word of God.
Amen.
May I ask, are you filled with the Spirit of God? Did you come tonight your mind and ears already in submission to the Spirit? Let me give you some very practical ideas about this, if I may. I think that there is a great truth that so many miss about the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, if you read the first six verses or so, you would see the story of the day of Pentecost. Oh, a time of a great moving of the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says God had brought people from all around the world, people from every nation in the world, and they all came to this place called Pentecost. They all spake different languages. And that day, God miraculously gave the apostles the ability to speak in foreign languages, so all those people could understand. You see, God wanted those people to hear the gospel. They came. They spake different languages. God came along and said, what I need to do is I'll give the apostles, I'll give those preachers the ability to speak in those foreign languages so those people can hear the gospel and get saved and take the gospel back to their countries. It wasn't some weird language, tongues of a charismatic movement. It wasn't anything like that. It was known languages so that the gospel could be spread around the world. Now, here's where I think sometimes there is a missed truth. In Acts chapter 2, verse number 6, the last part of the verse says this about that day. Every man heard them speak in his own language. Every man heard them speak in his own language. Don't miss the emphasis on the Holy Spirit's influence in regard to the listening. We give a lot of credit to that day and God anointing them with a power and them being able to speak in a foreign language. That gets all sorts of attention, but let me tell you something. That day the Holy Spirit was influencing ears. Ears. It says every man heard them speak in his own language. In Acts chapter 2, verse 8, the same chapter, the same story, it says this, how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born. Notice again, how hear we. That's spirit-controlled ears. That's a mind that is being influenced by the Spirit of God. Is it possible that the miracle of Pentecost was just as much about Holy Spirit-filled listening as it was Holy Spirit-filled speaking? In Acts chapter 10, verse number 44, it says this, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Notice, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard. The word heard here means perceived, meaning a listener should have Holy Spirit-filled perception. Hey, are you a Spirit-filled listener tonight? Are you a Spirit-filled listener? May I say, is that why you come to church and you only get about half of what's said? Is that why the preacher can stand up here on Sunday and preach to you and say to you, whatever you do, don't go out and do this? He said it very clearly. And by Monday morning, you have already gone to do what he warned you about not doing. What happened? He was preaching. He was preaching loud and clear. And the preacher had the power of God on his voice, but you did not have it on your ears. And you only heard half of what was said. tell you what would straighten up a bunch of young people if they would listen to mom and dad in the spirit. You listen in the flesh, you won't hear half of what mom and dad tells to you. You know, you say, well, Brother Owens, I'll tell you what. I get a little bit bored with the preaching. Let me tell you something. If your ears were turned into the Holy Spirit of God, the most boring preacher in the world could stand and preach the gospel, and the Spirit of God would be anointing your ears, and you would be amazed at how what you consider a boring preacher suddenly becomes electrifying in your mind as the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and does the work of God. Most people say, I'm just not interested in that preaching. The problem is not the preaching. The problem is your mind. The problem is your ears. The problem is you are sitting out there listening in the flesh to someone that is preaching in the spirit. So I say to you, there's a great truth that is missed about the day of Pentecost. I believe the day of Pentecost was just as much about spirit-filled listening as it was about spirit-filled preaching. May I recommend to you, secondly, that you wake up your ears to their responsibility for you to be a spirit-filled listener. Wake them up. Isaiah chapter 50, verse number 4 says this, "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ears to hear as the learned." Some of you need to wake up your ears.
Amen.
Wake up your ears to responsibility. Your ears sleep with no Holy Spirit reception while the preacher's voice is wide awake to the Holy Spirit's power. Wake up to this truth. I'll tell you all something. This truth could change your life. There are some of you, it's time for your life to be changed. You come to church, you walk in and walk out, and you don't change a lick, and I'll tell you why. It is not the absence of the truth of God being preached. It is not the absence of the power of God in the place. The problem is, it's you, and it's your listening. It's your listening. If some of you would do this, if you would wake up to your responsibility of submitting your ears to the Holy Spirit while the preacher's preaching, some of you, your life would begin to revolutionize in the areas that it is not being revolutionized. The preacher's telling you the right thing to do. You're just not hearing it. You're not listening like you should be listening. And you won't listen in the flesh by your own character. You will listen in the spirit by the character of God. And you've got to sit up and pay attention. It's sad that some of you, you're still dealing with some of the same vices. You're still dealing with some of the same weaknesses that you've dealt with year in and year out and year in and year out. And it's not a matter of you're not being taught at church how to overcome it. You're just not listening. You're not listening to what's being said. You only hear half of what's said. Does the preacher have to work overtime on his preaching just to keep your spiritual attention? Does he have to do his job and yours? This truth will do more to mature every Christian at every level than most truths that I know. We've got to listen. We've got to listen in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. You need the hearing aid of the Holy Spirit. You see, we miss the truth about Pentecost. It was not just about preaching. It was about listening as well. We need to wake up our ears to the responsibility of this truth. Thirdly, what would happen if God's people would plead for God's power on their listening as much as the preacher pleads for God's power on his preaching? What would happen if the people in the pew pleaded for God's power on their listening as much as the preacher in the pulpit pleaded for God's power in his preaching? The Bible says in Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, "And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit." Don't you get it wrong. Don't you misunderstand it. All sorts of people say, well, the man of God ought to have the Spirit of God upon him. According to this passage of Scripture, God wants to pour his spirit out upon all flesh. He said, I want to pour out my spirit on all sons. I want to pour out my spirit on all daughters. He's taking care of the whole human race right there, because you're either a son or a daughter. There's no halfway in between. I don't care what this new society says. He said, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, on your sons, on your daughters, on your old men, on your young men, on your servants, on your handmaids. You listen to me, young people. You listen to me, mom. You listen to me, dad. You listen to me, layman. You are to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. You won't have revival in the church just because a preacher's filled with the Holy Ghost of God. You'll have revival in the church because the people that sat in the pew are in submission to the Spirit of God while the preacher preaches in the power of God. Wonder if you were as concerned with your responsibility of being a Spirit-filled listener as a preacher is concerned about being a Spirit-filled preacher. As a listener, become consumed with this idea of Spirit-filled listening. What would happen if you were as concerned about your responsibility of listening in the Spirit as R.G. Lee was with his responsibility of preaching in the Spirit? What would happen if you were as consumed with Holy Spirit-filled listening as Dr. Tom Malone was with his Holy Spirit-filled preaching? What would happen if you were as consumed with Holy Spirit-filled listening as Jack Hiles was with Holy Spirit-filled preaching? What would happen if you were as consumed with your responsibility of being a Spirit-filled listener as Dr. John R. Rice was with his responsibility of preaching in the Spirit? What would happen if you were as consumed with Holy Spirit-filled listening as Lester Roloff was with Holy Spirit-filled preaching? What would happen if you were as consumed with your responsibility of listening in the Spirit as Dr. Curtis Hudson was with preaching in the Spirit? What would happen if you in the pew were as consumed with being filled with the Spirit while you listen as Charles Haddon Spurgeon was with being filled with the Spirit as he preached? What would happen if you in the pew were as consumed with Holy Spirit-filled listening as Dr. Carl Hatch was with Holy Spirit-filled preaching? What would happen if the people in the pew were as feeling responsible with listening in the Spirit as was J. Frank Norris in preaching in the Spirit? What would happen? What would happen if you and I were as consumed with listening in the Spirit as Jesus is with people preaching in the Spirit? Why don't you take your responsibility as seriously as you expect the preacher to take his? I know preachers everywhere that walk with God, and they have the power of God on them. I'll go to their churches, and they'll weep, and they'll say, "Preacher, for some reason, I'm going to have a hard time getting things going, but I'm walking with God. I'm winning souls. I'm right with God. What's wrong?" I'll say to that preacher, "My dear friend, you keep walking with God, but it's not just you. The pew has to do its responsibility as well as the preacher doing his." You realize we could double the power of every sermon in what I'm saying? Double the power. Let me even in a further way apply this truth. Why don't you decide from now on that you'll be a Holy Spirit-filled listener? See, I never heard this before. I never, everybody looked right at me. I didn't realize this. Okay, you know now. Every time you pull in your church parking lot, in the parking lot, you stop and you say, "Holy Spirit of God, I'm about to go to church. I submit myself to you. I submit my ears to you. Don't let me miss a thing. Let me get everything that the preacher has for me. Let me get everything that you have for me." And wake up your ears. Hey, dads, let me tell you something. You dads, mom and the kids are in the car and you're driving to church. What would happen if all of us, when we're out in the parking lot, daddy said, "Okay, let's all just bow our heads and close our eyes for a moment and let's submit ourselves to the Spirit of God that we might listen, that our lives might be transformed in the service today." Before you go to Sunday school class, you stop before you go to class and say, "Oh, God, I'm about to be taught from a Sunday school teacher. I'm submitting my ears to you that I might learn." Before you go to choir practice, "Oh God, I submit my ears and voice to you." Before you come to the morning church service, you just pray in your heart, say, "God, this morning in the church service, I want to be filled with thy Spirit. I want to listen in the Spirit." Before you go to that children's program, before you go to your teen meeting, every teenager here ought to submit your ears to the Holy Spirit of God before the preacher gets up to preach. Every Sunday night when you come to church, and you ought to be coming to church on Sunday night, every Sunday night before the preacher preaches, you say, "Holy Spirit of God, I submit myself to you. I want to hear everything that you have to say." Hey, before you go to Wednesday night church, and you ought to be coming to Wednesday night church, before the preacher preaches on Wednesday night, in your heart you say, "Holy Spirit of God, I want to hear everything. I don't want to miss a bit of it. I want every little
jot and every little tittle of the truth of the power of God tonight. Please give it to me. I don't want to miss any of it. What would happen before you went to the bus workers meeting if you said today, I want to hear it. Lord, I want to miss a thing. Somebody's going to say something to me, and it's going to help me to better reach people. I want to absorb every bit of it. Before you go to chapel in the Christian school, and somebody stands up and preaches. Before you go to Bible class in your Bible college. Before you go to Bible class in your Christian school, you say, Holy Spirit of God, listen, I want to hear, I want to hear, I want to hear, I want to hear. Hey, do us preachers a favor. Before you come get counsel the next time, say, Holy Spirit of God, help me to perceive. Help me to hear. Nothing like having somebody sit across the desk from you in a counseling session. And you spend 45 minutes teaching them how to do it, and they walk out, and you wonder if they heard a single thing that you had said. And it wasn't the advice given by the pastor. It was the fact that the ears were dull and hard of hearing, and they were not perceiving the truth of God. Picture the unstoppable power of a Spirit-filled preacher. A Spirit-filled sermon and a Spirit-filled congregation. Oh my, we'll have to bust out the walls. See, it is a truth that is almost missing anymore. We expect the preacher and the evangelist and the missionary to have the power of God upon them. I see that the pew is to have the power of God upon them too. Most churches don't get much Spirit-filled preaching, but I happen to know the men of God here. You get Spirit-filled preaching. You are preached by men of God that understand the Spirit of God. Oh my, what a responsibility. I learned this truth when I was a young man. I'm glad that I did. I sat on the platform as one of the assistant pastors to Dr. Hiles. He would go to preach. I sat and heard him preach over 5,000 sermons in my lifetime. And I would sit behind him, and I would sit right over here. He would stand to preach. Brother Marsh, I'm going to tell you something. I felt like I was all alone in the room with him. I felt like I was the only person there, and he was preaching right at me. I walked into the church service, and I said, oh God, I don't want to miss this. I don't want to miss a thing. I want to know how it's done. I want to know why it's done. I want to know for who it is to be done. I want to absorb it. I want it. I want to catch what he is teaching. I don't want to miss any of it. I'm going to tell you all something. There are some of you, you've sat under some of the same kind of preachers and the same kind of preaching, but you didn't get half of what was said. You missed it. You missed it. You missed it. Look, why don't you decide from this night on out, you are going to get every little ounce of truth that God has for you. It will revolutionize your marriage. It will revolutionize your family. It will revolutionize your spirit. It will revolutionize your preaching. It will revolutionize your ministry. Think of all the truth we've wasted. Not that it wasn't said, that we weren't listening. I went to preach at a conference. The host pastor came out to meet me as I was entering the building. He had in his hand a 3x5 card. That 3x5 card, he had about 6 sermon titles written on it. And they were my sermon titles. And he, about half jokingly and half seriously, said, now, Brother Owens, you preach anything you want while you're here. But please don't preach these 6 sermons of yours while you're here, because I already preached them here to my people. Brother Marsh, some of you guys know what I mean, don't you? And I joke with him. I said, Brother, I've heard you preach. Don't you worry. They'll never even know it's the same sermon. We joked. I went in, stood at my book table, just like I will here in a few minutes. At the end of the night, a man from his church came over to me. This man was a very sincere man, a very loyal man, and a very good man. The man came over and said, Brother Owens, you remind me a lot of my preacher. I trained his preacher. You remind me a lot of my preacher. A lot of similarities. He said, tell me something. He said, could I ask you a couple of questions about a sermon that my preacher preached? I said, sure. He asked me a question. I knew right away. He was asking me questions about one of his preacher's sermons that just happened to be one of my sermons. This man said, Brother Owens, could you tell me, he said this. What did he mean? I said, well, I think he meant this. He said, oh, yeah, that makes sense. He said, may I ask another question? I said, yes, sir, you may. He said, the preacher said this. What do you think he meant? I said, I'm going to guess he meant this. He said, you're right. I said, did he happen to mention this in the sermon? He said, he did. I said, no. He said, could I ask you another question? I said, yes, you may. He asked me. He said, I'll tell you what. He said, you have helped me to understand a couple things that it just wasn't clear to me. He said, now I understand. Now, why couldn't I help him? I was merely explaining a sermon of mine that had been preached by another. And folks, if I may, your pastor merely borrows all of his sermons from the Holy Spirit of God. And if you would submit your ears to the original author when the preacher preaches up, stands up to preach a sermon that he got out of the book of God, suddenly things will come alive in your hearing and you'll understand like you never understood before. Preachers preaching sermons. But people talk about stealing sermons. All our sermons, if they're any good, are stolen. We're supposed to steal God's sermons. Oh, but the Holy Spirit of God can come and bring that thing alive. But I have to remind you, it is my job to have walked with God and have the power of God upon me while I stand here and preach. And it is your job to have walked in that back door just as much in submission to the Holy Spirit in your listening. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. From this day forward, let's never again listen to the preaching without our ears being in submission to the Spirit of God. Some of you that know this truth, push the reset button and get back to what you should have been doing all along. To those of you that never heard this truth, from here on out, obey it. Let's not let this be one of those sermons where we listen to it tonight and we forget what it was about tomorrow. Let this be one that affects us every day for the rest of our lives. Preachers, if I could very humbly recommend, our people won't know to do their part unless we teach them. Maybe take a nugget of truth from this sermon and preach it to your people. Let them see. You got to train them. You got to teach them. Sounds like the preacher gets some ice cream. Could y'all hear that phone? He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear the phone going off and the preacher getting his ice cream. Our Father, thank you for what you've done in this hour. Bless the sermon to come. May each and every person in this house submit themselves right now. Submit their ears that they might hear what you have to say to them. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.